Aloha, I'm Angela C. from the University of Hawaii, and these are my colleagues and co-authors and folks on the research team. I'd like to acknowledge Susan Stewart, who's here in the audience, who's also part of the research team. I have no relationships to disclose. What I will report is part of a randomized controlled trial involved in three sites. The focus of this randomized controlled trial was to, if you see under here in AIM 1, was to look at whether lay health workers leading an educational intervention to promote colorectal cancer screening would lead to participants improving their ever screening rates. This was the intervention arm of the trial. The control arm of the trial was a nutrition education intervention, and this is what I will be covering for this presentation. The nutrition education intervention was also included as AIM 2 of the study. AIM 2 of the study was a qualitative component that was looking more at the processes of education and health education and the processes of engagement with the lay health workers and their participants. The randomized control trial was conducted in three sites in three different geographic regions. In Honolulu, we worked with the Filipinos. In Los Angeles, we worked with the Koreans, and in Sacramento, we worked with the Hmong. The population, the participants were older adults, ages 50 to 75, and there was a total of 982 participants across the three sites. So the background of this is we used a community-based participatory research approach. And this approach was to promote colon cancer screening through lay health worker education approach with three Asian American subgroups. Our educational content were flip charts. For the intervention arm, we used flip charts. And then for the nutrition arm, which I will be focusing on, we use flip charts and lectures and brochures. We also conducted pre-post surveys with interpretations in language as well too for the different groups. We had lay health workers for a total of 28 lay health workers were recruited each in Los Angeles and Sacramento sites. That's for the Koreans and Hmongs. And then the Filipinos in Hawaii, we had a total of 26 lay health workers. So these lay health workers were recruited by the research team through our community collaborations and contacts. The lay health workers in turn would recruit about 20 participants from their social and family networks. So those were the 982 participants total. The participants were randomized at the lay health worker level to either their intervention arm, which was a colon cancer prevention, or the control arm, which was a nutrition and physical activity education. The participants were 18 years old and older. So this presentation will focus on cultural modifications in standard health education curricula. In this case, the standard health education curricula is on nutrition and physical activity education to older adult learners. So as we had seen from our previous presentation, this area of nutrition education for Asian American older adults is fairly new. So this is one of the areas that we're exploring. So we were also exploring the content and modifications that might be needed for older adult Asian Americans and ways that we could improve on standard nutrition and physical activity education for more acceptability and comprehensibility for these three Asian American subgroups. for the curriculum, so because we had three sites, there were core components that the three sites could not modify, and then there were some components that we could culturally modify for our communities. So I'm going to show some visuals of the core components that we used in our health education materials. So the nutrition education was based on education of serving sizes. We use a standard number of servings a day to be eaten and serving sizes for each of the food groups. So again, as you can see, fairly standard nutrition type education. So we use this approach for the three groups. And this is one of the sample slides that were core components. So we did not modify these slides across the three groups. And this is another core component. So again, we use the approach of food groups and number of servings a day. And so this was one of the slides that we used for our education in our three communities for the older adults. And then for physical activity, we based it on general recommendations on number of hours to engage in moderate activities, and then we provided some examples. So again, standard, using standard guidelines. So that that slide was for the Korean community, and then this slide was for the Filipino community, but again, the focus is on moderate exercise that you can incorporate in your daily routine. So then we had content that we were able to modify for each group. So here are examples. So, you know, you can see these are culturally, much more culturally and community specific. This was for the Hmong, and this was for the Koreans, and this was for the Filipinos. And again, some more examples based on the different communities and ethnic groups. And so the Filipinos and the Hmong focused on sodium. So there were optional content that we could cover or not cover. And so there was a focus on sodium. So these were culture-specific slides on sodium. And then pictures of ethnic foods. So we decided to have to do an in-depth qualitative study on the nutrition education portion of the study. We had two guiding questions. One, we wanted to look at the education and social engagement process. Again, we had the lay health workers, community health workers, who had to engage with their friends and families to both recruit them into the nutrition and physical activity education, and then they needed to continue to engage with them so that their participants would stay for three sessions. So we wanted to examine the social engagement process for recruitment and retention in this educational sessions. And then we also wanted to look at what modifications were actually made to the content and why. So the methods that I'll be reporting on was that we, the research groups, each of the research sites would develop lessons learned reports. These were qualitative descriptive reports that we would develop. These reports were based on our qualitative interviews with the lay health workers and participants. So every time we completed a series of educational sessions, we did in-depth interviews of the lay health workers, and we did focus groups with the participants. So this was just lessons learned reports that we gleaned from these focus groups and interviews. These lessons learned reports detailed the engagement processes and the educational processes. We had, for the duration of this project, which was 5 years, we had bi-monthly conference calls. So every 2 weeks, we had conference calls. And some of these conference calls, we discussed these cross-site comparisons. So these are some demographic results. Again, we had pre-post surveys, so this is reporting on the demographics by site. As you can see, the age is about the same. Gender, more females across the sites. And then native born, again, pretty high for all sites. There's some diversity across sites in the educational levels, as you can see, for example, Hmong and less than high school education. And then we could see with the Koreans, high college education. And then the native language spoken, as also was acknowledged in the other presentation, you could see with the Filipinos are often mixed language. They speak Tagalog or Ilocano and English. So those are some background. So from our lessons learned discussions, we gleaned four emerging themes on engagement and educational processes. With the health education and engagement processes, we found that there were specific relationships that lay health workers had with their participants. We also found that there were certain social etiquette with participants with each other. We also found similar and varying levels of health literacy, and then we also found similar and varying preferences, health education didactic preferences. So just some findings on how lay health workers interacted with their participants. In terms of recruiting their participants across the three sites, there were common networks. So for example, lay health workers recruited from community groups, from churches, from housing complexes, partners from previous community engaged work, and word of mouth. There were also some unique venues for recruitment. For example, for the Filipinos, we actually recruited through our students. This was done through the University of Hawaii, and our students worked with their parents to recruit older adults. For the Hmong and Koreans, media was very common. We tried media with the Filipinos, like we went on Filipino radio station, but that was not successful. Other unique recruitment dynamics, word of mouth for the Hmong was the most popular because it was more like a trust issue. They wanted to hear from the word of mouth from their friends to participate. For Koreans, there was more of a focus on the result than the processes. So there was often a focus on we need to recruit. They really wanted to recruit that 15 participants, 20 participants, very goal oriented for the Koreans. Thank you. In terms of social relationships, there were actually unique social relationships. The Koreans wanted more formal meetings of venues to meet. Hmong met at a familiar community site, the Hmong Women's Heritage Association, and Filipinos like more personal spaces. In terms of general health literacy, all groups said that they learned something new. This concept of number of servings and food groups was new to them. The Hmong and Filipinos really enjoyed the sessions. They enjoyed the social interactions. They said they liked to come because it was a way to take a break, to hang out with their friends. The Korean actually wanted a little bit more sophisticated content level for nutrition education, especially because the education was done through UCLA. They were sometimes disappointed. They thought there would be some new innovative information. So because of that, the Korean group added additional nutrition education components, like they did BMI testing. The nutritionists actually prepared daily menus for participants. Sacramento and Los Angeles said because of the way that the Hmong and Koreans ate, which was more family style, sometimes it's hard to really look at serving sizes and number of servings. didactic format also differed. Koreans wanted more didactic formats. They wanted more PowerPoints, you know, one-on-one, whereas with the Filipinos, they wanted more informal small groups. And the common preferences, didactic preferences, was all liked much more interactivity. That was the feedback. They had wished that the education was much more interactive. The Filipinos had requested cooking demonstrations. They had wished that there were cooking demonstrations and modifications made to traditional dishes. So in conclusion, this sub-study helped us discover that there were various educational preferences, pedagogical preferences, relational elements, and the types of modification that were needed. And these modifications highlighted ways to foster more comfort and engagement of Asian American older adults in this type of education. And future studies would look at further types of what cultural factors impact the transmission of education to older adults, and what types of community and cultural factors should be included in future nutrition and physical activity education. And thank you to all our community health leaders, lay health workers from our three different sites.
Thank you.
So we do have some time for one or two questions. Thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part. Yeah, that's a good question. I think that's something that needs further exploration, because these were ethnic groups, but the ethnic groups were also geographically specific. I guess the limitation is this might not be universal. This is an initial exploratory examination of three ethnic groups in three distinct geographic groups, geographic areas. Thank you. I can't speak for that group, but we know that they've had, at least a decade or decades of engagement through the Hmong Women's Association, and so it takes a lot of time to build up the relationships. But we had our site researchers, Sacramento site researchers, and community leader. We're also from the Hmong community, so it was based on that and also previous research projects as well too. So sort of classic community-based participatory research model, where it takes a long time to build up the relationships, also working with folks from the community.